Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, a live show brought to you by Plebs for Plebs, which focuses on the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin protocols. Join QW and Avi as they run down the weekly news and developments, breaking down the current thing and the future frontier with the foundation of decentralization, the builders, thinkers, doers, and plebs. All right, we are live.
Welcome, gentle plebs, to episode number 76 of Plebchain Radio. Today is Friday, the 30th of August, and it is 3:03 p.m. on the east coast of the United States at the time of recording. We have a fun show ahead of you. Boomy from Albi joins us to give us all the insights into the brand new, the newly launched Albi Hub. I'll be sure to take all my tech support questions to him. No, I'm just kidding. It's been working great for me. I switched over about a couple of weeks back. Just a reminder.
Nice joke, Javi. That was a good one.
we are humble entertainers, QW. Just a reminder, if you are listening to the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Chrome, as we found out recently, first of all, thank you for listening, but I would urge you to hit pause and switch over to Fountain, where you can earn some sats as you listen and support the value for value movement. Also, if you're joining this show live, we do record live on Nostr.ness and on zap.stream, where you can join in the live chat, which can get pretty rowdy and lively. And now, QW, I do have
I want to say, because the live chat, ever since it's been getting kind of rowdy, I feel like I've been a little bit more distracted. I'm still learning how to deal with this, doing a show, paying attention to a guest, and also memeing and gifing or jiffing. I never know what it is, but
gifing
on the side. So it's something we're developers, Avi. We're developing our way of dealing with that, right?
Yes, we are.
Are we devs?
speaking of memeing, though, QW, I don't know if you're devs, but we're certainly partial to the odd meme. And for reasons that we will get into in a couple of minutes, we haven't been able to spend that much time, I certainly haven't, on the Nostr social media Twitter clone clients. So I haven't seen any memes for my meme readout. But of course, I can't leave the audience hanging, QW. I will do a meme readout. I made one just for this. And this sort of ties into some of the activity we've been hearing about on X, the Nostr FOMO that's happening there. With some of the Bitcoiners on X suddenly realizing that they need to move to Nostr. So, two-frame meme. It's Neo and Morpheus, one of the scenes from The Matrix. First frame is Neo speaking, and he's asking Morpheus, "What are you trying to tell me? If I move to Nostr, I can be an influencer and be free?" The second frame is Morpheus replying, "No, Neo. What I'm telling you is that when you're truly free, you won't need to be an influencer."
And you know, I felt like the Morpheus was a pretty good impersonation there. You're actually taking it to another level. You're just not just narrating. You're actually playing the parts.
I'm getting into character, QW. It's the Stanislavski method of theater.
And once again, we're bringing audio memes to those that can't see. So I'm big into that, Avi. Thank you.
Yeah, so QW, it's time for our sermon, and that our sermon today is reflecting on our other stuff challenge that we undertook, this journey, this harrowing journey that we decided to undertake in last week's show, where we chose to take a week off posting on any of the Nostr Twitter clones, right? Posting kind one notes on the Primal, Dharmas, Amethyst,
right,
Nostr, what have you. And what a week, apparently, we chose, QW.
And let me just say, I'm going to actually do my very first kind one. I think I'm going to do it from Damas on this. I'm going to press post right now. Note is dropped. So I officially am off my cleanse. I'm ready to get back to normal, Abby. And what a week it was, right? That was pretty wild. It seemed like one of the worst weeks when you're supposed to be, you know, as a community trying to help onboard anybody that's new. Because really the first week or two of any new Noster user is going to be learning, and it's trying to understand. Because, you know, they jump over from the Twitter clone and they just assume it's just like Twitter, and then they'll go back over there. Oh, just Noster, it sucked, it wasn't for me. But they didn't grasp any part of what's amazing about Noster. And I think that was a big part of our journey, right?
No, it certainly was, QW. But I do want to comment on what seemed like, I mean, genuine FOMO. They're on X, there were folks dropping NPubs left, right, and center. And then, you had the Bitcoiners who are still Noster skeptics. And one of them posted, this comment stands out to me, one of them tweeted words to the effect of, I don't see how Noster prevents CEOs from getting arrested, because presumably this FOMO was driven by the Telegram CEO Pavel Durov being arrested in France, and then the fear of the potential knock-on effects of that, right?
Well, we had three things happening this week on the censorship side. We had the Zuckerberg news where he was actually actively censoring with the Biden administration. Then you had the Brazil, it might have been fake news, I don't know, but there was the threat to take down X out of Brazil. You know, these are the reasons why Noster is so important, right? And then on top of that, the CEO of Telegram. So it was kind of like a triangulation there.
It was, but I just to add to that earlier comment, QW, on the person on X who said, Noster, I don't see how Noster prevents a CEO from getting arrested. No, it certainly doesn't, right? This is a technology protocol. It doesn't have magical powers that prevents CEOs of apps from getting arrested. But I'll tell you who it prevents from getting arrested, QW. It prevents the CEO of Noster from getting arrested.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Derek Ross.
There's no CEO of email. There's no CEO of the internet. So where do you start?
Exactly. So in any event, it was certainly an interesting week. I don't know how much sustaining power there was in the people feeling the FOMO. Maybe they came. I saw some comments on X saying things like, yeah, I went back to Noster, I posted something, nobody saw it, so I came back to X, which it was comments like that prompted the meme that I read out, the Neo-Morpheus meme, QW, which is, if people think that they want to be influencers on X, they built some kind of clout based on gaming the algorithm, or they're in the process of building that clout, and then they think they can replicate that on Noster somehow because they're addicted to it. Well, if that's your intention, or to be on Noster, to quote our erudite vice president and perhaps future president of the United States, do not come. Do not come.
And to quote our former president, Donald Trump, I think the meme goes, I'm going to come. I saw those two put together. This is where we are in politics. But so anyways,
what was your journey like, QW? Your other stuff, man. Journey.
So the number one thing you find out, some work better on mobile. Some clients work better on mobile. Obviously some work better, on web, whether it's Windows or whatever, browser you're on. I find that my first couple of days I was doing mobile. So I was still on the fountain. I was still on Wave Lake. Those are just clutch. You, if you have a mobile device, get Fountain and get Wave Lake, connect your insect to that or your profile. That's probably the most seamless, just transition, as in my daily life. But what I did after that
And number two, the best setup for me was definitely Brave or Chrome with the Get Albi, but I already had an account. So it's something where my wallet is easily, it follows me along with my account as I bounce around. But, you know, I did get involved. I was zapping. I was joining the Toonster on Monday night. So that was a live music. We zapped that. I communicated on that. Zap.stream. I was bouncing around some of the streams, some of the live streams, which is like the Twitch replacement. Flare.pub. I listened to some of our friend Walker's, the Bitcoin podcast show. I was able to comment on that. So when I'm in the general chat of that, just like it's a YouTube replacement, that actually broadcasts to Nostr as well. So I'm learning that a lot of these other stuffs are so integrated within the Nostr protocol that they'll show up on like a Damas or a, you know, Amethyst or whatever it may be as a kind one. So it was kind of trying, we started, I mean, really that kind one was a fun one. It was interesting. So another thing that with that Telegram replacement, now that we're looking at the CEO of Telegram, OX has been going, I mean, from what I understand, the development has gone, it's actually usable now. And when you joined it, Avi, I know some of us were trying it out, but I'm really encouraged about that. It might not be ready for prime time right now, but it's so close. So OX chat was a fun one. Zap.cooking. Avi, I'm a chef now. I'm published. Like I said, I was going to do my grandmother's chicken Dijon recipe. I put it up there. I did it. I think I did a tremendous job on that. I actually tried, Avi, and I, in credit to my wife, she's quite the photographer and an excellent chef too. So we did it together. So fun things like that. Obla.news, Avi, you're an author. Now I'm an author. So I authored two pieces long form. They weren't that long, but you know what? I did it. So that was cool. Nostr build always, I had to upload a lot of links, pictures, and then Highlighter. I was browsing that. I still don't know how to do the Highlighter extension. I want to learn about that, but I think the ultimate summary is I tried a lot of different things I wouldn't have done, and I was still connected to the Nostr protocol, and it was a neat experience, and I do want to actually try more. So, you know, I needed a challenge like this to actually spend time and learn and focused only on that portion of Nostr. How about you?
Yeah, so I'm not going to go over every single one, QW, because
it's... Oh, come on, Avi, you didn't even do it.
I was going to say, it's a very large overlap. In fact, if not...
You're just hanging out on Twitter the whole time.
I was doing that, which is funny. But I was mostly following the drama with all the NPUBs being dropped on Twitter. But look... It's there's certainly a lot to do in the other stuff, a lot more than 6 months ago for sure. It is work, right? So these long form articles take writing, right?
Right.
And some of these others. So I was left with a sense of sensory deprivation for the kind one notes, mm-hmm. QW, and I'm going to do an impromptu second meme readout in honor of our dear friend Condalorian. Who at the very beginning of our challenge posted this meme to us. It's the two astronauts looking at the Earth meme, or the Always Has Been meme. And the first one says, wait, it was always kind one notes? Always has been.
Yeah. And there was a little confusion too, right? Because, you know, we were talking about just X replacements and kind one, but we were posting kind one from other places, and it's like, wait, you know, are you on it? I don't know. It's crazy how cohesive the Nostr protocol is and where kind ones get published from. It makes it really interesting. I don't know. It's, and you got to be careful what you say in other places, right?
Indeed. So QW, I think it's time to bring on our guest.
Yeah. Yeah. And welcome to the stage, Boomy, an incredible product, Albi. I leaned on it a lot the last 7 days.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. Super excited.
Boomy, we've got to start with a burning question. Is Albi more of a Nostr app than it is a Bitcoin app?
Oh, a very good question. I think both are actually going hand in hand together. Don't you think so? So, I mean, I always, you know, I come from the Bitcoin world and I was always excited about what we can do with Bitcoin and Lightning, but I always said that nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to do a Lightning payment or I don't want to do a payment there. It's kind of more of a necessity, right? To do these kind of things. And we have to figure out what's the reason to do it. And that's why I think Noster is such a nice fit, because now we have all these exciting, not kind one, but also kind one kind of applications where we now can embed Bitcoin directly. So it goes both hand in hand. We come from the Bitcoin space, but I think moving forward, it will merging more and more together.
You know, one way of quantitatively measuring something like this, which more of a Bitcoin app versus more of a Noster app, is there a way of knowing how many Noster logins happen on Albi, and then you add that to the number of Zaps that happen through Albi? And if the sum of those two is more than the non-Noster Lightning payments that happen in Albi, I think that'll be some kind of indication, don't you think?
Yeah. But I think also, I don't know, the usage pattern is also changing was changing also with more applications coming up. I don't know actually how many Noster logins are happening. These things we cannot see, right? So there are no stats on this. But if you look at the time now at what the Albi extension is, then it's for sure, I think it's still Lightning. The wallet is the major account, so you connect a wallet more or less, right? And then this wallet has Noster keys that you use then for Noster signing and their identity and so on. So that you can use the wallet without Noster, but right now you cannot use it with Noster but without the wallet. So
That's a good answer. You don't collect any data, Bhumi, so you never know what the stats are. That's great. Who was Bhumi before Albi began? What were you up to, and how did you get there?
How far back should we start?
as far back as we need to go.
So I'm a software engineer. I'm a software developer. So I got a technical background. I was always excited about, like the internet and what we can build on top of that. That's actually what we got into programming in the first place. That I could connect with the world. You know, I'm coming from a really tiny village in southern Germany. So in my early young years, in my youth, it was actually pretty exciting to go online and be connected with the whole world somehow and build kind of websites and suddenly realize that people from the other side of the world are visiting that and getting connected to that. So that was actually exciting. That's how I got into more and more into programming. And I would even say that also got me into Bitcoin. Took a while. I have also this typical Bitcoin story, you know, ignoring it at the first place and then realizing something and then falling down the rabbit hole. And the realizing something for me was like that, what I was excited about the internet, like, and the web itself is what Bitcoin is bringing for value. And so this is how I got into Bitcoin actually. Back then I was always like, open source developer. I was running a software consultancy that did a lot of work in Germany, in Europe. I was exploring various like open source and co-working spaces around the world. Actually, I did a bunch of trips to certain places, because it was always exciting to see that how it, you know, you were connected online but not connected physically. So that was like, I was a bit on a quest to learn more and what kind of different problems we solve with the same open source tools around the world. And then focused more and more on Bitcoin until at some point, Lightning came around, and then slowly my work at Albi started. And yeah, this is what brings us here today. Yes.
So, were you one of the founders of Albi?
I'm one of the founders of Albi, yes. So I wrote the first lines of code like around Christmas, I think 2020-21. At a Fulmo hackathon, this is where the first lines of code and of the browser extension were written, and was me. Yeah.
Great. So what was the original idea behind Albi when you sat down for that hackathon? What did you want to create?
There it for sure was about Lightning. Teaching the browser to talk to the Lightning network, because what we were missing and still are missing more or less is the money, the payment layer, the value layer on the web, that I can do peer-to-peer transactions just as I'm loading a website from a server. But to do that, we need to teach the browser how to do that, to really have this embedded experience. And this was the was and is the goal of Albi, this is what we wanted to solve there. There was it's not the first one actually. Also, all this has to be mentioned. There are a bunch of other similar projects out there. One to mention was that, for example, the Joule browser extension. I was contributing to that before too, with similar ideas and similar goals. That was the interest.
Tulip browser, you said, Bumi?
Joule, the Joule browser extension.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And what happened to that?
I think it was a bit ahead of its time, maybe. And as I said, I was also contributing to it, and there were a few reasons why actually I started Albi. One of them was that Joule was actually a front end for specifically LND, like one of the Lightning implementations, right? And it had all the features in there, like, for example, channel management and peer management and all these things that you need to do. And that was especially complicated back then, right? The vision that I had back then of the browser extension was a bit different. And it should be just like a really tiny layer between what happens in the browser, the website, and the Lightning network. So I don't, it should just be the bridge basically between these two kind of systems. So it shouldn't have like channel management and complicated stuff in there. So this was one reason, and I wanted to focus more on embedding experiences, like, for example, doing like also this kind of auto payments, allowing websites to get a certain budget that they can spend while the user is browsing on the website, what we now do with the SAPs on a web application, that I can scroll through the feed and then I can click and in the background a SAP is sent. So these kind of things are, I wanted actually to be more in the focus of the app, of the extension. And this is how it started. Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Bumi, but in the era, in the space of browser extensions, weren't shitcoins ahead of Bitcoin on this? I know there's MetaMask and and some of these other ones. So they got there first, right? With the browser extensions.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like we have to say that very much. Yes, they are like whatever ahead means. They do completely different things, right? They build NFT marketplaces and I don't know what else, and so on. But the like
the underlying problem is kind of a similar one, right? You want to teach the browser to do certain things, and in this case also to connect to another network where you can then like run smart contracts or execute functions or sign something that is then published to a smart contract, and we do it, we do other things with that, but our fundamental problem is kind of a similar one. And we can, like, you know, I'm, as much as I'm focused on Bitcoin, I think there is a lot of things that we can learn from the various ecosystems around there. So I don't want to ignore that. And they for sure do a good job there. They learned, they learned a lot. And MetaMask, you know, MetaMask is huge. So they've been through a lot where we also can still learn a lot from them.
Well, it also helped that they, I think they came out of Consensus Labs, right? Which is... they can print their token out of thin air and fund their projects. So it certainly helps to have the infinite money printer glitch on your side to scale a company.
For sure.
Go ahead, Bumi.
There's nothing to add actually there. I was just laughing because, yes, that's in the short period, in the short term, that's for probably for sure advantage. The question is like, how does it look like in the long term, right?
Yep.
And what's sustainable?
So, Avi, you're saying when they print those tokens and the shitcoining happens, and then they develop technology, and we as a non-shitcoiners learn from that technology, we're actually benefiting from shitcoining? In an indirect way?
Well, I guess you could say that in a roundabout indirect way. Yes,
The world is moving forward, right? We learn from anything that happens out there.
What is it now? I don't know.
Bumi, let me ask you this: on since we're talking signing in with browser extensions, right? Clearly, it is a paradigm shift in user authentication. Even in the case of MetaMask, right? Much as I hate to say it, but certainly Albi and so on, it's a paradigm shift in user authentication in a lot of these for applications and websites. How different in a pre-Noster world, right? How different do you see the user authentication solution that Albi provided? How different is the Lightning? Sign in with Lightning versus sign in with Noster?
That's a good point. That's a good question. Because ultimately, like, ideas are, I think, also very similar, right? That you don't use a password, but you use a key that you actually own to sign in, to verify your identity, to sign in with something. And then there was this early protocol, LNUL auth, to do that, that you could sign in a standard way a message with your Lightning key and then to use that for authentication, which is nice, which is cool. But I think what is missing there is, like, it's my wallet, right? And I might change the wallet. I change the key. So this is not really like my user identity, or I might even use the same wallet for different identities, right? So I think that had a bit of this flaw, and I think that matches much better with Noster, where I have my key as my identity to use in these various applications, and in these various applications then I kind of, you know, like, use that key to authenticate or to prove my identity in that. So there is a much better a better fit there, I would say.
Is it? And I don't. I haven't studied sign in with Lightning in any level of detail. Is it fair to say that's an ephemeral identity when you sign in with Lightning?
Why would you say that? Or what is your?
So your Noster identity, right? Your NSEC is. I mean, you keep. Essentially, the NSEC is forever, right? As long as you don't lose it, you can use that across the board anywhere. You can even sign, obviously, sign notes, which I don't believe you could do with Well, you can sign other events as well, right? With your NSEC, which you can't with Lightning, as far as I understand. So when you sign in with Lightning, is it constrained or confined to a specific set of sessions? And then when you sign in with Lightning somewhere else, it doesn't map to the same identity?
No, that's not the case, but it's specific for a website. So it was specific for a domain, basically, where I'm logging in. That's there forever. As long as I have the key, I can prove that I'm coming back. You know, it's me today, and I come tomorrow to the website again, and I can prove that it's me again. And I can do that forever as long as I have the key. But there is nothing I can take across the different domains, across these different applications. This is what I have much more with my Nostr identity, right? But ultimately, it's still like the underlying, you know, if you look at it very abstractly speaking, then it's a private key, right? And as long as you have the private key, you can do certain things with it. So in that sense, it's quite similar, but you know, the key it doesn't stand on its own, so it needs to be used in a certain way, and it needs to be like things are attached to a key, and that's why it matches much better for to use a Nostr key to for authentication and identity.
Got it.
And how big is the team at Albi now?
So Albi started as with the Albi extension, especially, you know, it's anything that we're doing is open source. Lots of open source contributors. I was just like struggling with the number. I think there are like more than 100 contributors to the Albi extension, which is amazing. So there is so much like feedback and input and from issues to pull requests and everything from a very broad community. The core team and in the Albi like company, that is the company that's around that, we are like 10-ish people. So depending on how you count it, 10-ish people, yeah.
And I love that, Avi. Remember we had Evan with Zeus on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He mentioned the same thing, you know, because we think in our like a legacy mindset, how big is your team? But in an open source mindset, you know, it's a GitHub, or it's there's a lot of people pushing upgrades or working on a project that they're passionate about. And in the full sense, they are part of the team, you know. So it's tough to really peg that. And I'm glad you answered like that, because that was that just kind of reaffirms what I've noticed as well. You joined Nostr 11/6 of 22, so that was a month and a half before kind of that big migration, the Jack Hatchening or the Jackening or whatever it may be. Tell me about how you found Nostr. What kind of drew you that way?
Ooh, yeah. I don't remember the date exactly. So,
well, yeah,
so it, good. So.
I follow you everywhere. I know exactly when you first posted. Or
at least that key, right? So I don't know, like what other keys I have or had, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. The one. It wasn't a burner. So the one you're on now. Tell me about your story on Nostr.
Yeah. I mean, especially then it was a small community, right? I guess I found out about it on Bitcoin Twitter, following like the main people behind that were pushing Nostr back mm-hmm. then and still are. But what drew me to it is, you know, the things that we talked a little bit about before, like, you know, now that you have. And or maybe I should start differently, because I'm also, for example, actively on the Fediverse. So I've been following Mastodon for a while and like the idea of these federated applications. I'm also active in a bunch of projects there that build on XMPP, for example, as a chat protocol and these kind of things. So my general interest is in open and decentralized technology. And so there are various things that I've been following, but what got me really then excited about the Noster part is that the use of keys, right? The use that I actually own my identity. And I think that's a very different, or like that was the thing that was also problematic in the Fediverse in Mastodon, that I have federations, but actually my identity more or less is still, and identity is maybe an overused word here, I shouldn't use that much, but like I still have to use kind of a federation. I have to join a federation to do that, and I don't have control over that. I cannot take what I did like last year somewhere else if the federation is shutting down, or if this instance is shutting down, not the federation is shutting down. So, and I think this focus on the keys and signing and having this really, really easy protocol, and also having the relays as a rather, you know, rather dump like instance that is not knowing anything, it's just relaying messages more or less, I found actually super exciting. And I also thought and think that this is a perfect match, as I said before, towards what Bitcoin is needed, or is what Bitcoin is needing, and what helps drive Bitcoin adoption as a payment protocol on the web, because it's such a good fit, right? You have the payment layer, and now you have like a bit of the social and identity layer that Noster brings. So,
And at what point did you or Albie in general decide to add Noster signing?
That was actually initially even a bit of a controversial topic, because we said it's actually a pretty good fit. As I said, you know, it fits very well together. You have the keys, you sign stuff, you bring your identity as you bring your wallet to a web application, and the web application can then use that one, right? Can request a payment from you that is then executed through the browser extension, through Albie, or it can request a signature from you that is then also done through the extension. So the concepts have been matching there really well. The question then back then was, you know, when you build these tools, how do you still keep it simple? And how do you then, you know, is it okay to add it? Is it worth adding it? You know, because back then it was super small, right? It was like the Noster community was super small. Nobody knew like what's gonna be the adoption. Is it something that now like a bunch of Bitcoin people find interesting and it will die off after a few months or not? And so there was a bit of this discussion. How do you keep the project, the product that is complicated enough, right? Lightning is already complicated enough. How do you keep that small and easy to understand? Or is it beneficial to add this new functionality? So in the end, we added it. So it was quite hidden in the beginning, like in some settings section and so on. It was quite hidden. So it was a bit of a second class citizen initially. But it pretty quickly became clear that there is a lot of excitement around that, and a lot of developers trying to do things and building things, which then obviously also meant for us that we want to do more there. We got a lot of feedback. We wanted to do more there, and it became this kind of first class citizen within the Albie extension.
Yeah, I think, one thing about extensions to me is I had no idea. Well, I mean, I'm not that computer literate, but the Noster community has the patience to teach. And there's a lot of developers in it that can explain things, or, you know, if you have the will to learn, you know, I looked at my test flight yesterday. Test flight's the app within iOS, and I have like 15 different apps I'm using on test flight now. So the amount of that I learned from the Noster community, I think Albie or any extensions, this is the perfect place to place your product, to where people can understand, because the Q&A is live, chronological. There's always conversations going on, explaining things that you otherwise wouldn't understand. And Nostr has that ability where people really want to learn and people want to try things out. And, you know, I would never have been on Albi if it wasn't for Nostr. And I'm blown away by the product. So.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Yeah, it needs to be emphasized on. There is like so many curious people on Nostr, right? And what's like that are, challenging things and helping each other and experimenting with new ideas. So that's like the community is exciting. Yeah.
And it's kind of like a Reddit forum where you just post something and then like 6 hours later, you find out what the answer is, or two days or whatever. But this is like real time and everyone seems to have an answer if you just throw it out in the ether.
Yeah.
on that note, KW, if Bitcoin converts philosophers into technologists and technologists into philosophers, then I'd say Nostr converts shitposters into technologists and technologists into shitposters.
That was very philosophical of you, Abhi, from a technical standpoint.
but Bhumi, going back to the comment you made, where at some point the team at Albi realized, had that moment where we said, you know what, we're not going to bury Nostr as a second class citizen. I mean, there's something really significant here. That part of that development led to Nostr Wallet Connect that came out of Albi. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, could you give a non-technologist, a layperson, help them understand what Nostr Wallet Connect is? Because it is, you know, everyone's talking about it, but it seems like the layperson doesn't really understand what NWC is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope we get to the point where a layperson doesn't even need to ask the question what it is, because it's just things are just happening in the background. We are not there yet, right? So that's still a bit of work to do there in terms of user experience and products and so on. But I think you could think of a Nostr, if you like, especially think about the kind one, right? You as a human are posting through relays to other humans. You send that, you write a message, you sign it, you publish it. Somebody else can read it and see it's from you and can reply. And what Nostr Wallet, and generally in Nostr, it doesn't need to be humans, right, that are sending these messages. We can use the same infrastructure for computers to send these messages. And what we as Albi were always looking for, and that's also what the extension is doing, right? It allows web applications to talk to wallets through the extension in this case. And we were always looking for how applications in general can talk to wallets. And now with Nostr Wallet Connect, it's basically a protocol. It describes the language of how an application is able to send a message to the user's wallet that the wallet then can process and can answer and send a message back. So in a message, for example, could just be like, please pay this SAP. So my Nostr client sends a Nostr event through a relay to my wallet with the payment request for this SAP. And my wallet processes it and gives the pre-image back and says, yeah, okay, done, paid. So this is not sure. Does it make sense? Is that something understandable?
Well, I think so. So let me just recap that my understanding of it from the way you explained, Bhumi. Prior to Nostr Wallet Connect, a wallet could only react to very specific inputs, right? Very constrained inputs from certain kinds of applications. With Nostr Wallet Connect, any application can communicate with the wallet. Obviously, it needs to be some kind of valid input, right, that the wallet can react to. Is that a fair recap?
Yes, that's a fair recap. I think what I would add here is that typically it needs a user interaction, right? If you remembered early days of Zapping, then you press the button, then a different app, especially on a mobile phone, right? You press the Zap button, a different application opened, like your wallet opened. You might even have to do with 2-3 other clicks in there. You confirm the payment, and then somehow you have to go back to the Noster client itself. So you as a human, you have to somehow do something to for this interaction. And with Noster Wallet Connect, like these apps now have like a language to do that automatically without human interaction. Obviously, the message needs to still be valid. And obviously, you as a human, you can configure the wallet and give these applications certain permissions. So for example, the one can only get read permissions or can only create an invoice to receive payments. Or you can say, hey, I allow this application to send X amount of sats per day, per week, or something like that as a protection that I'm not sapping too much. So these are all configuration options that you can set that the wallet can like validate these messages that come from any application.
Yeah, that's a super helpful explanation, Bhumi. So, you know, we're obviously building up towards Albi Hub, but a couple of questions before we get there, Bhumi, which is, you know, until about, I can't remember now, 3 or 4 months ago, anyone could go to getalbi.com, spin up their own Lightning address, download the browser extension, and off to the races, right? But around 3 or 4 months ago, you went invite only. What was the reasoning behind that?
The reasoning behind that was that we had to keep up this demand, or we had to make sure that we are able to keep up this demand and be able to serve the users on a bigger scale. You know, a lot of users came, more usage was there, and so on. And we as like were not, yeah, probably not ready for that. That's why we had to slow down that adoption a little bit until we now have like especially Albi Hub, where we now can open up that again and scale that again to like hopefully bigger layers, or bigger amounts, right?
Was there a concern that added to that decision to go invite only around the fact that, you know, Albi, fantastic as it was and as easy to use as it was in its previous iteration, was ultimately a custodial Lightning wallet and potentially some legal risks around that?
Like the extension, like the history is there that initially the extension was only usable with LND. You could connect LND, which was super complicated. So the goal was always, like as I said before, in the browser extension to have this like small layer between in the web app and any Lightning wallet, and the user should own it, right? And the first one was LND, super complicated. So we wanted to make it easier. And especially to get user to get started, and for us also to figure out if there is a need for it, right? If there is adoption, will people even use that? Because we don't have to build this like whole hard Lightning technology if there is nobody gonna be using it. So there, the initial quest was obviously to make that easier. So we allowed people to having accounts. Actually, initially, also people could connect their blue wallets to it, you know, that these kind of things. But yeah, as you say, for various reasons, like technical but also non-technical reasons, this only goes to a certain scale. This definitely grew, and but our goal was always to go in a way where the users are fully sovereign. And like I think now the technology is at that level that we can build like a full sovereign full self-sovereign stack there. So, but yeah, we had to slow that down for like technical and non-technical reasons where we thought, okay, this is getting a bit too much. We also have to migrate the users and so on. So that's why we have to keep a bit control over that. And that's why it was then in invite only.
Yeah, makes sense, Bumi. So let's talk about Albi Hub and how is it different from the Albi that most of us might be used to up until now?
So Albi Hub is the user's full self-sovereign, self-custodial, whatever words you want to add there, hub to connect to Lightning and Nostra applications. So it's a full self-sovereign Lightning node. So that's a difference. It builds around Nostra Wallet Connect. So it completely builds around Nostra Wallet Connect. So with the idea that you are actually using it mostly from other applications, right? And for that, I would say like the idea is that once you set it up, there is actually no difference from what you know before, except that you as a user are now in full control and can move anytime, anywhere as you want, and you have full control over how you want to run it. So do you want to run it in the cloud or in your own cloud, or do you want to run it on your Raspberry Pi at home? That's completely up to you, but you can use the same tools and services out there as you know before.
And Avi, I know you're running the hub. I'm kind of a layman when it comes to the Lightning side of things. I mean, talk to me, Bumi, because I don't necessarily understand the difference, but break down maybe the different tiers that you guys are offering.
Mm-hmm. So what we're offering there is, like, first of all, it's an open source wallet, right? So it's on GitHub. You can do whatever you want with it. And we are offering cloud hosting for it. So that we are hosting it for you in our infrastructure. And like, this is the first like paid offer that we are now actually having there, where we got actually great feedback, which I'm really happy about, because it's for sure a bit of a, you know, a different, like a new thing for every like project out there. If you first time do that, it's always exciting to see like, okay, will people like it? Will they not like it? So I'm excited actually about the positive feedback that we got so far. So
Real quick.
And yeah.
Sorry, when you say hosting it, you mean the Lightning node, right?
Exactly, the Albi Hub as a Lightning node. So exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah. So we are offering hosting for the Lightning node for you. You can choose where you want to host it. You can also host it on your own if you want, or as we said, on your Raspberry Pi if you're comfortable with that. But we provide basically a one-click hosting setup for you. So, and compared to the sign-up before, that you might know is that you have like two more steps to do. The one is like you have to choose that you want to run it in the cloud, for example, with us, or where to deploy it. And the second one is that you have to choose an encryption password and back up your keys, because you're the only one that you as a user, you're the only one who is in control over those keys. So we don't have access to those keys. We cannot reset it. So this is a difference that you had before if users were signing up to the Albi account. It's a bit similar to what you have in the extension, right? If you choose the extension, a password, then this password is used to encrypt your Nostra key that is then stored within the browser. So this is only available within your computer, and not on some server or so. And so this is the similar part, but for the Lightning node, for the Lightning wallet.
Are those the two options, only two options, Bumi? The one is the paid one where you host the Lightning node in the cloud, and the other is a free one if you're running your own node. Is that correct?
You're running the same application, right? So it's like the Albi Hub. You can choose wherever you want to run it. Either you run it on your own, you can even run it on your desktop computer if you want, or you let us host, or you host it in our cloud. Yes, so these are the two options that we are currently offering. There might be more like premium features or something that we add in the future, but these are this is the main option that we have right now.
And just to clarify, the one where you provide the cloud's storage, presumably with something like Voltage or one of those, right? Mm-hmm. Luna node, right? Mm-hmm. That's the paid tier.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So you pay for cloud hosting, and with cloud hosting, you get a bunch of other like services around that. But this is the paid tier, exactly. So, and we work with like data centers there to spin up like new machines, deploy this application, and make it available to you.
The other new thing I noticed, and I'm running a self-hosted version of Albi Hub, I noticed a neat little feature where you can actually buy inbound liquidity. I mean, in my experience prior to this with inbound liquidity is it's a complete wild west, right? You have Magma and a couple of other marketplaces where you can attempt to buy it, but I mean, the prices don't necessarily make sense, and it's unclear who your counterparty is. How are you managing all of that with this inbound liquidity marketplace that you have?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I think... some of us that have been around the space for a few years now, especially in Lightning, that might be a bit scared of the word node or running a node, because I did it like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, four, I don't know, even longer ago, and it was like quite complicated. One of the things is like the question, like, where do you get inbound liquidity from, right? Or what are good channel partners? Still a hard question to answer, right? But now the ecosystem and the tools have become much, much easier and much better that we can actually also build different type of Lightning nodes with different focuses, I would say. And especially in Albi Hub, for example, we try to give you sensible defaults that you don't have to think about that. So in the onboarding, it tells you about channels and says, yes, you need a channel to connect to the Lightning network. This is essential. Otherwise, you cannot use it. But we take away this question, where do you connect to or where do you get liquidity from? And we provide defaults where we integrated some of the LSPs that are out there now. Megalith, for example, as one, Olympus, another one. So we give the user the option there, but we have defaults that the user doesn't have to do a complicated choice. And with that, I think we can provide a good experience, a very good onboarding experience for users to get started. As I said, I think a lot of the old users that have been around, they're a bit scared when it says running a node, but the feedback that we get a lot is like saying like, oh wow, this was actually quite easy. So I think other tools are building in a similar direction, right? I think their Lightning is the whole ecosystem is really at the point where it now can provide much easier solutions for users.
I think I fall into that old user category. I was reading when I first started thinking about, oh, Lightning node, you see you can make money off a Lightning node by routing, and you're looking into it like, oh, that's interesting. And then you start getting into the inbound and outbound liquidity. Mm-hmm. And then you see the rate fees go crazy, and then people are having their channels closed, and you're like, I don't know if I have enough time in my life or even any profitability, which isn't really something the goal in the end, is even worth it. So making it simple, making that experience simple, making the onboarding simple, I think is the key to kind of push a lot of people over. But I think that's just the growing pains too in a new technology.
Yeah.
And that's the management portion of it. If the least management possible in the end is going to be the most effective, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's especially, you know, if you have a default, right? In the beginning, like the tools needed to build, or the nodes needed to be able to open channels, right? To do the communication. So this was the first thing that obviously these nodes were implementing. So there was still a lot of left to the user to do that were using these nodes, right? And you had to, and you had a lot of manual work. But now we can take away this a lot of this manual work and automate it. And with that, it becomes easy. You don't have to think about it. It just you just do it, right? And it's important for us that we give the user the choice, right? You can go to an advanced section and say, I want to open a channel with a friend of mine or something like that. But that's not the default, right? The default is like, okay, you need an inbound liquidity, bam, here you get something. And yes, what we will need to see is like, there's always a bit of a cost attached to that. Yeah, that just comes with it and being this the possibility to being self-sovereign also.
Do you see the tech trending, or the user experience rather, trending in the direction of a non-technical user? All they want to do is to have self-custodial Lightning, right? And they just say, they go to Albi and say, okay, for a fixed fee, all of that gets taken care of, all my channels and liquidity and so on. And it's fully, you know, well, it could be cloud hosted, but I guess that's one step removed from completely sovereign, but it's close enough, right? But can there be that 1 to 2 click user experience almost like you have today with a wallet of Satoshi?
I mean, that's what we're working towards too, right? So I very much believe that, and I think if you look at what we have with the Albi Hub now, I think that we're pretty good there. Like, I'm pretty excited about how that actually is. So still you have some, you know, obviously the terminology. If there is a completely new user that first now hears the word channel, they have no understanding of a channel, so there needs to be a bit of an education happening, yes. But it's really simple to use. It's really like this two-click setup. That being said, like I guess a very centralized solution is always a bit easier. There is no way around. You give up full control, and then somebody else is doing it for you, so you have no control whatsoever. Then that's the most easiest thing to do, but you also have no control then, right? It's not yours. It's like it always comes with different downsides, which is exciting also in Lightning, because it's for everybody, right? You can start with what we did too, right? You can start with an Albi account and then move to something like what we now have, the Albi Hub. There's a more self-sovereign setup. You can start with running it in the cloud, or then move to yourself Raspberry Pi solution at home. So there are there is no lock-in in whatever you use. That's the cool part. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But to answer your question shortly, yes, I think we will get there, and we are pretty close to that this is actually usable in a similar way.
I like that you offered upgrade type of thing, because you know, for me, using the Albi wallet in the Connect extension, and even all the way to the progressive web app icon that I have on my iPhone, it just works. Everything's been working. And that gains the trust of the user, which then you can offer that, you know, you want to learn more, you want to, you know, we kind of understand who Albi is as a company and what they do and how they deliver. I think it's a really effective strategy for someone, a consumer like myself, that you know, they need a little trust in this trustless world that we have in the Lightning community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's important for us too. Also, in the Lightning, as you say, in the Lightning part is what we then hopefully as a company can provide is providing certain services around the Lightning node and all these kind of things that make it easy for you, that take away some of the annoyances and pains and provide great value to you that then hopefully then also people are willing to pay for. So if they don't want to do them on their own, right?
Yeah. So Bhumi, I want to ask you a question which we asked Evan from Zeus and a few months ago when Olympus was about to be launched, which is, I think we're taking some really great steps towards fully sovereign and fully self-custodial Lightning, right? So for example, I like my setup on Albi. It's my node, and you know, it's, but there's still one weak link in this chain, which is my Lightning address, right? It's at getalbi.com, and that can be rug pulled by Carl Icahn or whoever, or Mr. Two Cows, the domain registrar. So what are your thoughts on how we address that? Because that's a lingering, nagging risk that's still there, right? The DNS risk.
Yeah. Yep. The DNS risk is still there. It's a good question. I would say there are various steps to it. So first of all, you can also own your own domain. That's similar to, and the Lightning address is very similar to email there, right? So if you use a Gmail address, then okay,
right,
you are using a
Gmail. Do you really
service. Sorry?
Do you really own your own domain though?
You own, like, you can say you rent it, right? You ultimately rent it and somebody else can always take it away. That's for sure. That's the case. But also to that, what I want to say is there is a bit of a scale to it, right? So because if you use your own domain, at least then it's like there is not another level in between. So, right. So if you use also getalbi.com, so as much as I think we provide great value for the users on that, it's basically our domain, right? It's Albi's domain that you're using there. And by the way, also there is, like, we want to make it easier, and we had this in the beginning also, that people can use can have an easy way to use their own domains for the Lightning addresses. So, and this will also be expanded further in the future. I tried to say, you know, there are different levels to that, but ultimately, as you say, we're still building on DNS, and there, you know, the first fork of Bitcoin was Namecoin, right? Trying to solve exactly that problem with the .bit domain back then, or basically addressing trying to solve the naming issue. Like, having human readable names in a decentralized system is super hard. You know, in Tor we have like the onion addresses that no human can ever read because we use keys there. Because in a decentralized way is like who gives you the name, who makes sure that this is only you, right? So this is a super interesting but a super complicated topic. Yeah, I don't have a good answer to that because, like, you know, we also come from saying it needs to be simple and usable. And then we come to the saying, okay, the very foundation of the internet, the DNS kind of system, is problematic. So we need to solve it. But to solve that, that's kind of, from my understanding, at least one of the most complicated problems that also come with a lot of... like hassle for the end users ultimately, at least from the time being. So there is a bit the problem that I see here. I didn't hear Evan's episode. What were you guys discussing? What's your thoughts on
that? I'm sure Avi, you've had that conversation with Evan a few times, maybe.
Yeah, I've had the conversation more than once. It's something that obviously we're living with it, right? I obviously don't have an answer to it, Bhumi. You're right. Like, I mean,
MetaMask will figure it out for us.
Yeah,
with all their funding.
a name needs to come from a registrar, right? And I just definitionally, or at least the way we understand a name or an alias coming as it exists today, comes from a registrar, which by definition is a central entity, right? So how do you decentralize a registrar? I don't have an answer to that, but I'd love to hear people's thought process on it. And I know I've been seeing some chatter on a Nostr-based solution for that. I don't know how far that's progressed.
I was going to say, can Nostr fix this? Is my question.
I mean, the problem that I see with Nostr, and I'm not don't know it well enough, because we also rely on the relays, right? So, and what's the universal one? So the first consensus that we need to have is like, which relay are we using, right? What's your name? Are we on the same relay that in that regard? And then potentially yes, but I'm not sure if that's okay already to say, like, okay, there are multiple relays, or there are multiple of the same names depending on which relay it is, right? So, and don't, yeah, like, aren't there some projects that are exactly doing that? Isn't there the .nostr domains? I haven't followed.
I believe so. I haven't looked at it. Yeah, there's obviously...
A couple months ago, I think I saw something about that, and it was too big brain for me in regards to the domains and the internet, mm-hmm, and how Nostr can kind of replace that. And I was just like, that sounds awesome. Sounds decentralized. That's better.
Yeah. Let me know when I can use it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me know when I can just crash test dummy right into it with the burner account. go ahead, Avi.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Bumi, as we're wrapping up here, we've talked about the new LB Hub and the offering, but I've always been curious, and especially in the old model, right, where it was, we had the custodial Lightning address, what was the revenue model and what is the revenue model today for LB?
I think all the Lightning companies still have a bit of a hard time because, and also Nostr, right? It's the same because the ecosystem is still small. So we are all working on growing the ecosystem and growing the user base. And we believe that we are onto, you know, a huge technological, like, advancement revolution, even, or like something that's gonna be big. We don't know yet how it looks like, you know. We don't know how Nostr looks like in a few years' times, what's all built on it. We don't know how Lightning is gonna look like in a few years' time, but we think the time is right that we have to experiment with that, and we believe we find something. So we don't have a good answer for that yet. We for sure work towards the future, and as I said, our first revenue model that we are now introducing is like the hosting here and providing special premium services that make it easy for you, for users to, you know, have the Lightning address, to manage the channels, to have inbound liquidity, all these kind of things that you need to be participating in the Nostr and Bitcoin economy there.
Well, got it. Mm-hmm. And so what's next for LB?
Our focus is right now still very much on LB Hub. I mean, it's kind of beta launched, right? We are still invite only, so we are slowly opening up and scaling that, and we have quite some exciting ideas and features that will come to LB Hub in the future. Like, for example, the LB Hub becoming also your Nostr remote signer as a potential. You know, then you have like this one key that again in the hub manages your wallet, and you have the Nostr key in there that you can use in various things. So I think there's quite some interesting possibilities there. But yeah, this is very much the focus right now, I would say. So, And I want to hear all your all the feedback, all the people listening to that. Please, 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 please please try it out and set it up, and please send feedback and questions and thoughts and so on. Because, yeah, that's the most important thing, right? So we've been now working like a lot of months on that, and you could even say maybe a bit too long. before we show it a broader audience, but that's why it's super important to hear everybody's feedback.
Yeah, I think your company or the Albi team is one of the best in regards to responses and in helping. I think Start 9 was another one that I really like as a user trying to learn and trying to problem solve, you know. But there's been times when your team saved our butts. We were trying to get a Toonster live feed up, and we wanted to set up a wallet for it. And I think it's either Tomek or Moritz. They got us an invite code within a few minutes response, and we're on the other side of the globe, the other side of the pond. But you know, the amount of technical help that you guys are giving, I couldn't appreciate more.
And speaking of customer support, Bhumi, that I had a power outage for 2 hours, maybe a couple of days back. And then power came back on and my node went back online. But I started getting messages saying from Albi, saying your Albi hub seems offline, and so pinging, making sure that I keep my node up. It's a nice reminder.
That's good to hear. Good.
<Yeah. laughs> That was just the feds, Avi.
This is the thing that we try to build, right? So these are some of the hard things. Like in this case, your node would have been offline, and you wouldn't be able to receive subs. We wouldn't be able to send subs and so on. You know, this ultimately comes with the thing that you run something at home and it might restart. So, okay, this is completely fine. But then our question is then, okay, how can we make that an easy and super pleasant journey for the user? And one of this is the idea of these notifications, right? So it's good to hear that you think it was helpful.
Yeah, and you see it all the time, right? Obviously, you see the Nostra node, hey, man, I can't zap you. I've seen it on Fountain comments. I've seen it anywhere where there's value for value. Hey man, I can't zap you. And it's nice to just have that initial email so you can respond instantly versus getting that feedback from people that are trying to send you the hardest money in the world. So good on you for that. Anything else you want to plug? And just FYI, I'm going to put Albi in the show notes, and maybe that user guide too. I think that's pretty helpful. But anything else you want to plug?
Cool. We can also, like, if listeners don't have an account yet and want to try it out, happy to share with the audience some invites. Just reach out, and we can also put some in the show notes, I guess. But I think we talked about the Albi Hub. There is not too much to add. I think, I really want to emphasize again on the things that I said before, because like that's the feedback that I currently quite get a lot, is that people here know it and they're a bit scared of it, and then they try it out and like, oh wow, this came a long way, and say, you know, this needs to have a good reputation. So I encourage everybody to take control and try it out. And because it's, I think, quite easy.
Well, thank you for coming on, exploring the Albi product extension, everything you guys are offering. Avi, anything else?
No, that's it. It's been super helpful, Bhumi. Enjoyed this conversation, and I'll make sure I have your number now, so I'll reach out with any tech support questions. No, I'm kidding. I won't.
No. Please do. Thanks, and thanks for having me here. It's like,
and thank you for your patience and being a tech support for Lightning. The solving the Lightning's problems, that's a tall task, and that we really appreciate you. So thank you, Boomy.
thank you
And anybody listening, please support Value for Value. Get the Zaps flowing or Boostagrams via Fountain, which is now a Nostr native client. Join the Nostr community, comment, Zap, whatever it may be, get involved. I'd love to see you on there too. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.